Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So back in the beginning of COVID, so I was at my parents' house in Wisconsin Rapids. This was before Wisconsin had seen the first spike in cases, but it was spiking in different cities. And my mother was expressing concern. She said, you know, COVID's going to come here last, just like all the fashion trends. Wisconsin's always last to get the fashion trends. And so we're going to be the last one to get this spike in cases too. But that is not always the case, because Wisconsin now has the first designated fashion college in the entire Midwest, which is located in Milwaukee. And our guest for this half hour is Lynn Dixon Speller, who is the Dean of Academics at Odessa School of Fashion. And she is also the founder of Odessa School of Fashion. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited.
I'm so excited to have you here. So, true or false, Wisconsin's the last to get the fashion trends.
You know, it's interesting. Wisconsin is a heavy producer of clothing and soft goods. And so we may be the last to get the trends, but we're the first to put out the goods.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, so I'm so excited to learn more about the school in general, but you have quite the resume. You are an internationally acclaimed and award-winning apparel designer. You've had museum credits at the Smithsonian, and you're not from Wisconsin, correct? So you've been kind of all over the place. So tell me more about how you got here.
Trailing spouse. You know the term trailing spouse. I followed my husband for a position he had secured and got here. I planned to raise my kids and be a housewife. And of course, the fashion industry sucked me back in. And it became very clear that there was a fashion school here, Mount Mary University. I began to teach there when I first arrived. And so from there, I went to MATC, I taught there. I taught at Art Institute of Wisconsin, where I became the chair of the fashion department, and then later became the president of the entire college. And the school then closed. And once it closed, we had done such good work building a strong fashion program, both in marketing and design, that my faculty and I decided we can't let this go. So we pursued, you know, developing our own college, and it took about 5 years.
What does that even take to start a college, let alone a fashion college, but just to take it on, and the accreditation process, the funding, the buildings, the staff, like what does that actually take?
You know, it's how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. We had no idea what it took. The fortunate thing was that as I was running the Art Institute of Wisconsin, it was breaking down. So I was allowed in rooms on a collegiate level that I'd never been allowed in before. So I was learning about accreditation and program approval and compliance and regulation and all that sort of thing, financial aid. And these were things I had never touched before. And so as I was responsible for breaking that school down, I began to realize it's building it up backwards. And I decided to take my job very seriously and learn this. And I had the support of the faculty and the staff of that institution backing me. And we all, in a team type of effort, began to decide, what's our website? What's the name of the school? What are our programs? How do we want the curriculum to look? And one step after the other, we built it. And it's fortunate that so far, we've not had any real missteps. You know, nothing was done out of order. We learned it as we did it. No one does this. So there was no one to ask, how do you do it? So we just got in there and figured it out. And so far, so good. It's going pretty well.
Because it opened in January. So you're in your first freshman class is the school right now, correct?
Exactly. Except that we also had students that had attended previous institutions that were not allowed to finish. So we actually have juniors and seniors as well. It's a very diverse group, but we have every level thus far.
So how does a fashion school or a school that is specifically for fashion, what's different about it? What is the curriculum? Like what does that look differently than if I was at UWM?
Well, if you were at UWM, the first thing would happen is you'd come in as a freshman and you start in liberal arts courses to kind of find yourself and determine where you what you want to do, where you want to be. But at EDESA, you come in and you're studying fashion day one because it's all we offer. And secondly, our gen eds are focused towards fashion as well. Your science is anatomy, which I feel anybody in the fashion world should study. Mm-hmm. Your psychology is psychology of dress. Your economics is textile industry economics. Your sociology is ethnic influences on American fashion. Your math is retail math and math for designers. All of our courses, even the writing courses, are geared towards fashion, blogging, journalism, things of that nature that, you know, it require you to know fashion, but it makes our students feel more comfortable. You know how a student goes, why do I have to take this? Well, now they don't say that because everything has to do with fashion. So it makes us very monofocused.
Absolutely. And so that's fascinating because I would think that my assumption would be like, oh, it's design and it's sewing and it's the application. But you're so right as far as like having to take anatomy and understand the body because you're making things for bodies. And so that makes so much sense to me. And so with how many students do you have right now?
Right now we have about 14. We have about 4 coming in the fall so far. We have not even begun to recruit, really. And this has all been word of mouth that we have the group that we have. So most fashion programs get about 20 students a year. So we're on target with our enrollment numbers.
And are they mostly Wisconsin kids? Are they mostly kids from the Midwest? Or because if this is the only, does it surprise you that there's not anything in Chicago, that this would be the first fashion institute in the region?
Well, in Chicago, there are fashion programs attached to other schools.
Okay.
But there were 3 programs that were, that met their demise when the art institutes closed. So they had 3 programs there as well. So when this started, Chicago had 5 opportunities for students to go to school there to study fashion, and now there are 2. So that's a big void in the Chicago area as well, and we're hoping to tap into that student body as well. It's interesting that do we have mostly Midwestern students? Yes, but I just got a student that has already secured a degree at FIT in illustration who has now moved to Milwaukee and now decided that he wants to study design as well. And so that was a major validation to our programs because you're coming from one of the best schools in the world and have already, you know, managed to go through that program. And now you've chosen ours. I can't believe it. We also have now 2 students that are coming internationally. So we're trying to figure that out because from Africa. So it has become a worldwide presence. And I think that when we went to New York and we showed there that we got our name out on the worldwide stage. So people are starting to take notice.
Well, because I read that. And so talk more about the fact that the school started in January and then you were already at New York Fashion Week by September, which is incredible.
Thank God for those juniors and seniors that we had something to sell because the sewing classes just started this summer. So we were invited, and you know, fortunately we didn't have to turn it down because we had students that were at the level that could show. And you want to always take your best and your brightest. And fortunately we were able to, you know, we had 3 students that met that need, and we went there. We had a blast. I mean, it was everything. And we've been invited to be number one, the educational partner to New York Fashion Week Black, and secondly, to show every year. So now if you come to EDESA School of Fashion, I won't say you will, I will say you can. You can potentially show in New York. It's a faculty selection, and that determines who goes, so it's not fair. But
it is subjective.
Subjective. But, you know, that's where we are able to make that determination because we have to choose by who can not only show, but who has the strength of character to go and do a good job while we're there. Because it's very, very high pressure. And I will say, now that we've been once and know what to expect, we will continue to go because it's a real world experience for a student that you can't get anywhere else. You are dressing models, in a dressing room full of people, hair and makeup flying everywhere. And come on, your cue is now. You know, there's and schlepping suitcases and luggage full of garments all over from the airport to the Airbnb, to the venue, back to the Airbnb, back to the venue. I mean, it was real world experience and they loved it. And they did an amazing job.
Oh, we're talking to Lynn Dixon Speller, who is the academic dean and founder of Odessa School of Fashion, the first designated fashion college in the Midwest, which is so cool. And so what, because you and you named the school after your grandmother, correct?
Yes. Fortunately, she had a cool name.
Yeah.
it's actually the name of a city in Greece. The city of waterfalls is called Odessa. And I'm not sure, I'm going to assume she was named after that city. But we love the name because it's that nurturing aspect of grandmother showed me how to sew. Now my grandmother will show you how to sew. And, you know, I don't want to neglect the marketing department, which is our business side. And, you know, Odessa, it envelops all of these things all together where you come to our school, whatever you want to do in fashion, you can do. But grandmother Odessa is the one showing you how to do it.
Oh, I love that. Well, because I think that's something for those of us who are not very fashionable, which I would put myself in that category. I think that's a blindness to, or like we're blind to how many different, it's not just the designers. Like going to work in fashion doesn't mean, oh, I want to have my own label and my own line. There's the types of jobs that this creates or you can go into is everything from marketing, finance, shoppers, like what is all that, like what does it span as far as the types of jobs that your graduates can then go do?
I had an opportunity to look into the Dictionary of Occupational Titles, and people tend to, it's a book that people with disability and vocational rehabilitation and things and determinations are made about occupational titles to determine if people can receive benefits or whatever. So it's a federal book. And I looked into it and there are at least 200 job titles under the title, the heading of fashion.
Oh, wow.
In the States. And it's only referring to the United States.
That is... Because we talk a lot about in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee of attracting people to move here, right? And the different policies or the different industries and how can we attract people to stay here, move back here. And I love the ambition of, despite what my mom said, having Wisconsin and Milwaukee cut out that corner of the fashion industry and not have and then have that be a destination beyond FIT or the different coastal programs and schools that we think of, but actually cut out a corner on the Gold Coast, or the Third Coast, I should say, of people, this being a destination. Is that the big vision? Is it becomes that much of a competitive school that this becomes the place to go?
It was an accidental accomplishment. When we started Odessa, we weren't thinking about where it was. We weren't thinking about how it sat in the United States. But the accidental accomplishment was that the two coasts have all the designated fashion schools, and maybe Atlanta, you know, they're in South Carolina, again, a coast. But there was nothing here that was designated. It just happened. It was accidental, and it worked out great.
That's so, yeah, I love it. I'm so excited. And so is there also a Milwaukee Fashion Week that I heard about?
So there has been a Milwaukee Fashion Week. It's in hiatus right now. Some people are looking at the idea of resurrecting it. So I'm assuming it will be back and it may be back soon.
Oh, that's exciting. Again, not necessarily a huge fashionista over here, but I appreciate the art and I appreciate the intention and the creativity that goes into it. So we're going to go to a break really quickly, but when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the ethnic influences on American fashion, because I know that is something that you're passionate about and something that I feel like spurs comes up in conversation on social media every once in a while. So our guest this half hour is Lynn Dixon Speller. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Lynn Dixon Speller, who's the academic dean and founder of Edessa School of Fashion. And one of the, I think it was WPR, had done a story on you and the success of the school so far. And it talked about creating an entire curriculum about ethnic influences on American fashion. And I feel like, at least on the corners of social media that I spend time on, this pops up every once in a while where some white influencer or Kardashian or Hailey Bieber, or I think Hailey Bieber right now is the one who's under the gun for what she's calling like brownie lips or something, where she's just outlining her, like using brown eyeliner as lip liner and calling it something that it's not, when Latina and Black women have been doing that for a very long time. And this happens forever. And hoop earrings and these things that somehow, because a famous white woman usually starts doing a trend and then doesn't give credit to the communities that have been doing that for decades or came up with it. I mean, you also hear this with food. Like, most of the food that we love, no matter the culture, was like peasant food at some point, right? And so talk more about what that means and the kind of the curriculum that you've been able to create around studying that.
Well, if you are Black or brown, you understand the need for inclusion, mm-hmm. probably more so than anyone else. And because of that, 35 years ago, I was an assistant professor at University of Delaware, and a professor was going on sabbatical and asked me to teach her course in history of costume. And I had taken history of costume as a graduate student, and I was ready to teach the class. It was one of my favorite subjects. But as I was teaching the class, and I had 100% non-students of color, they were all white students, and we were studying France and Paris and England and, you know, Spain and Italy, I began to realize the history of costume was only in Western Europe. And it wasn't discussing Japan or Africa or South America or United States. I mean, it didn't discuss any of those things. And I began to get a bee in my bonnet and realize, you know, we're not included in this discussion. And it's another example of how history has eliminated our progress, our contributions. So I wrote a grant to the Center of Teaching Effectiveness, and it was funded to develop a course called Ethnic Influences in American Fashion. And I consulted with a woman named Lois Alexander, who is the woman, she wrote the book, Blacks in the History of Fashion. She also was the founder of the Black Fashion Museum, which is only 3 hours away from where I lived at the time. So we began to work together to try to expose more students in fashion and how other people of color, had contributed to the fashion industry as makers, designers, you know, just as cultural influencers. So as I did that, I wrote the grant and wrote the course. The course became a multicultural course at the University of Delaware, where students were required to study a culture other than their own in order to be considered fully educated. And that was back in the 80s. So, you know, it was way ahead of its time. And so when I did that, I had pre-law students, nursing students, I had English students in the class, not just fashion students, because they were trying to fulfill their multicultural requirements. I've taken that course everywhere I've taught, and it has not been accepted everywhere I've taught. And so when we developed Edessa, we could accept it for ourselves, and it became a bigger part of the curriculum because we began to realize the need for ethnic influences to be infused in all of the coursework. And it makes all of our students of color feel very comfortable and included and celebrated for no other reason than the fact that they have a part of this history, too.
That's vast. And so what was the pushback? Would just be that it's not necessary at some of the other schools that you've taught at?
One school had a strong prescribed curriculum that didn't have room for any variance. Another school was, you know, said, and I won't call the names of the schools.
Of course.
We don't have time for that. We don't have room for that. We already know what we're doing. And, you know, it's interesting because it's one of the things that has drawn the majority of my students to our school. And again, it was a happy accident. It's something I believe strongly in and felt, and my team felt strongly about putting these things together. And The students are celebrating it. And so I will say that my student body at this point is probably 80% of color, and LGBTQ, different ethnicities, races, religions. For such a small student body, everybody represents somebody in the student body. And they all get along. They love each other. They work together. We refer to them as our founding students. Mm-hmm. And it'll be about another year, and then they won't be founding students anymore. But we do have, you see these universities, and they have this big oil painting of the founding fathers and the founding students. These students will be in our oil painting. It will be abstract, but it'll be our oil painting.
I love that. So how often are they, what are some of the stories when they take that course that they're surprised by that they didn't know? Like, what are some facts that we would, the average person doesn't know, oh, that's where that came from?
Well, they didn't know that, so now you're making me draw a blank.
Sorry.
Elizabeth Keckley designed that there was a garment in the Smithsonian designed by a black woman for the Smithsonian's presidential collection for inaugurations. They didn't know a black woman had a garment in there. Hmm. They didn't know that Anne Lowe did Jacqueline Kennedy's wedding dress because it was a well-kept secret. She wasn't Ole Cassini. So they didn't talk about the fact that she had done the entire bridal party of that very historic wedding. There are many blacks in the history of fashion that are not discussed because there's no room for them in the discussion. However, they do have their place in history, and it's starting to be exposed now. We're starting to talk about it.
I love that. So in the 2 minutes that we have left, if anyone listening wants to apply to ADESA, when are applications due?
Well, we take them probably 2 months before the next session begins, which that would be spring. So you'd have until about late, mid-November. And you go to our website, edessa.fashion, and there's a button that says apply.
I love it. So we'll link that to our blog post for today on asgoeswisconsin.com. Absolutely. Because I love this. I love the attention it can bring to the Midwest and the outlet for creativity. And I think as we talk about the problem with, not problem with schools, but as we're trying to have kids go to more school and do things that they, like you said, actually is applicable to the career that they want. This is such the epitome of that. And so thank you for starting it. I'm so excited to see it grow and the success that you'll continue to have. And thank you for spending time with us today.
You are delightful. Thank you so much.
All right. Lynn Dixon Speller is the academic dean and founder of ADESA School of Fashion. Please check it out. It is so cool. Thank you so much. And we're going to take a break for the news, and we'll come back in a minute.
Thank you.